Crimson Rain by Emily Wen Zhao. Read for you by Emily Wu Zeller. To Clement, for showing me the hope in revolutions and for being the forever to my story. Part 1. 1. The Cerulean Empire. The moon was red tonight, and the ocean looked like blood, glistening a deep, clear crimson. Anastasia Mikhailov leaned over the railing of her ship and breathed in the sharp, ice-tinted scent of her empire. Throughout their journey over the past fortnight, she had watched the waters shift from the lovely cobalt blue of Brigone's coastal shore to the pale, vicious waves of Cerulea. The humid ocean air of the south had turned stark and dry as they traveled north, the wind whipping at their sails. The Cerulean Empire was carved of ice and snow, and she its daughter, born and raised. "An hour till we make land," came a voice. Anna turned. Daya of Kasutri strode toward her. She'd donned a thick fur cloak over her Brigonian tunic and leather shoes as they journeyed north and the weather grew colder. Her captain's pin flashed, and tonight, even Daya's easy grin was absent in the place of sobriety as she sidled up and leaned against the railing by Anna's side. "Crew's up and ready for, well, whatever we find out there," Daya finished, tipping her head forward in a grim gesture. "Whatever we find out there." Anna gripped the railing, her jaw tightening as she gazed unflinchingly ahead. It had been over a moon since she'd been forced to flee her empire, abandoning her people to a scene of slaughter, all in search of a deadly weapon that, if obtained by Morgana, would cause the demise of not only Cerulea, but the entire world. Siphons enabled their bearers to steal powers from Avanites, and had been part of a larger, decades-long plan by Alaric Curlin and the Brigonian government to further exploit Avanites. Morgana, of course, had sought out the two existing functional siphons to gain power for herself.
"There's only one person we're searching for," Anna said quietly.
"You think she's out there?" Daya murmured, nodding in the direction of the shores. Their quarry, Sorsha Ferald, Ramson's half-sister and former lieutenant of the Blue Fort. The girl who had betrayed her own army and kingdom from the inside on a quest for revenge and destruction. The girl who had stolen both siphons. Sorsha had used one siphon to steal Anna's blood affinity for herself, storing it and channeling it at will in the sea rock band that she wore on her wrist. The other, she'd sworn to bring to Morgana before she'd disappeared. It sickened Anna to know that her power would be used by a girl obsessed with wrath and ruin, and it was only the first example of the devastation the siphons would unleash upon the world. The exploitation of Avanites would continue at the hands of humanity. The wheel of power and powerless, oppressor and oppressed, would continue to spin. Unless Anna found the siphons and overthrew Morgana's reign of terror. Her eyes narrowed a fraction.
"I know she's out there," Anna replied. "We just have to find her before Morgana." A fit of coughs overtook her, and she lurched over the railing, feeling, not for the first time, that there was something inside her that was wrong, an emptiness that was scraping her raw. She felt Daya's hands on her shoulders, steadying her.
"Feeling all right?" A pause, then, "Have you eaten today?" Over the past 2 weeks aboard Daya's Stormbringer, Anna's appetite had diminished, something she had blamed on seasickness. But the insomnia, the bouts of dizziness, and the coughing fits, it was clear to anybody who paid attention that those were side effects of something much deeper. The effect of having one's affinity torn from them. She'd heard stories from her friend and ally, Lynn, who'd witnessed it firsthand in the Brigonian research dungeons they'd broken into. A girl, Lynn had told her, looking more like skin and bones than human. Gold hair thinned and falling out in clumps. Face sunken to the point of being skeletal. Anna had
Sample complete. Ready to continue?